Y'all may be seated. As already noted, with the Passover only about a week away now, it's time that we examine our faith and ask, are we fulfilling the obligation that each one of us made at baptism? For some, it's been a decade. For others, it's been several decades. You know, we know that His truth isn't easy. It requires a complete devotion to Him and to His Word. It requires sacrifice, strength, patience, and will incur division and trial. You know, His truth is not for the faint of heart. It's not something we can do part-time. It's not something we could do partially. If we're not fully committed, then our efforts are in vain. And we find this message all throughout His Word. And we will see that today, that we must fully commit, that we must fully comply to His will. You know, Yahshua told the Laodicean assembly, He said, I rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. He said, for those who are lukewarm, He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out because you refuse to fully commit to me. You see, going partial way will never be enough for the one we worship, especially during this time. He again requires that we fully commit ourselves to Him if we're unwilling or unable. We know the Scripture says that we will be found unworthy of Him and of His reward and salvation. Matter of fact, Yahshua the Messiah in Matthew 22, verse 14, said that only a few select would be found worthy. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, listen, it says, but few are chosen. So He says, many are called, but few are chosen. So not everyone who is called scripturally will be selected as a priest within His kingdom. Matter of fact, it says here that out of the vast number that is called to His truth, only a few will be chosen, will be selected for this position. So as Yahweh's people, we need to keep in mind that just because we're in the truth doesn't guarantee a place in Yahweh's kingdom, does not guarantee a place in His salvation. No, we must go beyond that. Salvation is based on how we live. It's based on what we do in this life. As believers, we need to always strive to do better, to live a life that is pleasing to our Father in heaven. You know, salvation is a progression. It's a progression. It's funny, I talk to people several times now throughout the week, and one of the common themes is, I'm never going to be worthy. I'm never going to get to the point where I should be. Well, not one of us is perfect, and it takes time, it takes effort. But the point within Yahweh's Word is that we should always strive to be better than what we are today. To be better, to do better. Again, we need to understand that there are no sureties with salvation. The fact is, how we live and what we do in this life will determine our eternal fate. These few years, 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years, will determine eternity for each and every one of us. Yahweh's truth requires complete devotion to Him. Again, this is especially true during this Passover season, a time that Scripture says that we are to examine ourselves, a time that we are to review our devotion, that we are to review our dedication, that we are to review our relationship with Him. If we're not giving this type of devotion already to our Father in heaven, then believe me, we're falling short of the obligation we made at baptism, at immersion. One truth that we need to understand again is that we must go beyond partial way. Again, many are called, few are chosen. Have you asked why only a few? Why not many? Why is it not possible that many are called and many are chosen? Why only a few are chosen? You know, over the years, I've met a lot of people in the faith. And over that time, I've seen many that has lacked the devotion that we must have as believers if we will be found faithful in the end. If we will be one of the few, then again, we must strive to follow Yahweh in all ways. Again, not partially, in all ways. To begin with, we must obey His word. This includes keeping the Sabbaths and feasts and the other commands we find within his truth. This includes the hard commands, loving your neighbor, loving your brother, loving your sister, even those who may irritate us at times. This includes helping those who are in need without expecting anything in return. Again, Yahweh's truth is not easy, and anybody who says it is simply is not living that word. Even the Apostle Paul, you know, he had apprehensions about his salvation. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have it preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." From what we find here, do you believe that Paul believed that his salvation was assured? Do you believe that Paul thought he had in the bag, that there was nothing else he could do, that he had earned and received eternal salvation? Or no, that's not what we find here. Paul said that he had to bring his body into bondage so that he himself would not be rejected or do what? Or become a castaway. A castaway. Again, no matter who it is, salvation is not assured. If anyone could have been confident, if anyone could have had the assurance of salvation, don't you suppose it would have been the Apostle Paul? You know, here this man did everything. He committed his life completely to Almighty Yahweh. He went on these journeys. He preached. He sacrificed. He was completely and utterly devoted. But he himself said that, look, unless I restrain myself, I too might be a castaway. So by his own admonition, we find here that he had to bring his body into bondage. What does this word bondage mean? Well, in the Greek, literally means to enslave. What was Paul enslaving here? Or what he was enslaving is his worldly lusts, his carnal desires of the flesh. You know, in the book of Galatians, Paul speaks about a war. We're not going to see this war on CNN or Fox News or any other news station. We see this war every time we look into a mirror. The war is with us. It is within us. Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5 how the Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. It is a continual war. The carnal flesh wants nothing more than to serve self, than to please self, while the Spirit focuses on those things that are from Almighty Yahweh, our Father in heaven. This was precisely why Paul brought his body into bondage. You see, he knew that he had these carnal desires. He knew that he had these carnal pulls. He knew that unless he restrained himself, that he, again, could be counted as a castaway in the end. So again, salvation is not assured. Paul knew that he himself could become a castaway. He knew that salvation was not easy. He knew that salvation required sacrifice. He knew that salvation required us to comply to the will of Almighty Yahweh. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior, explains that living the truth comes with a cost. You know, we know this. Living Yahweh's truth comes with a cost. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. It says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." You know, many people, they believe that Yahshua came to send peace on the earth. The very thing Yahshua said, "I come not to do," they believe he came to do. He goes on, "I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, listen, shall be they of his own household." So Yahshua says here that he came not to bring peace. What did he come to bring? He said he came to bring a sword. Well, this sword speaks about the challenges and the division that Yahweh's truth does bring. He said the son would be against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said that one's foes would be from their own household. You know, there are some people, again, who believe that Yahweh's word, it doesn't divide. Those people believe that Yahshua came to simply bring love and forgiveness and peace. But we find here this wasn't the case. You know, one thing all believers will have to deal with at some point is division and disappointment. We all at some point, and most of us, all of us here, we've probably all had to deal with this at some point, some sort of division in our families, some sort of disappointment within our families or within our friendships we've had. I've seen truth divide families. I've seen truth divide friendships. I've seen truth divide assemblies. What does this say about Yahweh's word? What does this say about our Father's truth? Does it say that it promotes only division and animosity? Does it say that it's flawed or imperfect in some way? Does it show that our Father in heaven is cruel and unkind, as some believe? Or does it show that we must follow Almighty Yahweh no matter what the cost? Or the latter. Living for him isn't easy. As his people, we will come against trials. We will come against tribulations. We will come against challenges that will test our faith and devotion. What makes a believer is what we do during those times of testing. Will we stand firm or will we give up? Will we give in? Will we relinquish that faith? Again, what we do during that time defines us as believers. You know, sometimes it's a family member encouraging us to do something against the faith. I know families trying to pressure, I've seen this in the past, trying to pressure believers into breaking the Sabbath, or don't worry about that day. It doesn't matter. Let's go to the yard sale or whatever it is. We're keeping days like Christmas, or just come, it's just a dinner with a family. Or maybe it's something, ignoring a feast day. You know, the list goes on. There's many ways a family or friends can detract or try to pull us away from the faith. But again, as believers, those moments define us. Will we hold firm? Will we do what is right? Will we say, no, I'm going to comply. I'm going to follow the will of Almighty Yahweh. I'm going to do what's right. Or are we going to give in? A lot of believers give in. You know, here's a piece of truth worth its weight in gold, and it's simply what we've already said. As believers, we must completely, utterly be committed to our Father in heaven, meaning that we cannot compromise his word. Again, this is a season that this message is so important, that it's a time of self-examination, a time that we are to review our own dedication to our Father in heaven. We cannot compromise for friends. We cannot compromise for families. We cannot compromise for employers. We cannot compromise for anybody on this earth. Our Father Yahweh must come first. Well, this goes back to the very first commandment. What does the first commandment say? It says, you shall have no other Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew. It means mighty ones. You shall have no other mighty ones before me, he says. If we put our family, if we put our friends, if we put our employer before Almighty Yahweh, in essence, what are we doing? In essence, we are breaking the first commandment. Yahweh says, you shall have no others before me. You cannot put anything before me. You cannot put anything before my worship. You cannot deviate from what I command you to observe and do. So when we do, because of family, friends, employers, or whatever else might be the case, maybe it's a professor. I've seen that. We are deviating and we are guilty of that first commandment where Yahweh said that you shall put nothing before me. Matter of fact, in verse 37, we have a mandate. We have a mandate within the word to put our Father above first. Well, let's read that mandate. Matthew 10, verse 37 says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We're commanded here to love Yahweh more than our father, more than our mother, more than our son, more than our daughter, more than anything else in this life. You see, we must love Yahweh. We must love our Father in heaven first, above all else. You know, I often speak about my daughters and the love that I have for them. I would give or do anything for their safety, for their success and happiness. As great as my love is, though, for my children, we must have a greater love for our Father in heaven. And that's hard to do. Think about it. Think about the love that we have for our children, those parents. Think about how deep that love goes. Scripture says that our love for our Father in heaven must be even deeper than the love we have for our son, for our daughter, or for our spouses. If it came down to our spouse or our son or daughter or Almighty Yahweh relationship, which one would we choose? Well, the answer hopefully is our Father in heaven. That is the answer. That is what we must choose. Not our son, not our daughter, not our spouse. Certainly we are to do everything we can to have a harmonious family and marriage. But Yahweh must first always come first. Always we should put our Father in heaven first. So how do we show this kind of love? What do? How do we demonstrate to our Father in heaven that we love him? Because again, this is the core of what it is to be a believer. Yahweh says that we must put him first. How do we do this? Or one way we do this is simply by obeying his commandments. It's not very hard. It's not complicated. You know, a son must obey his father. I've never understood the concept that many ministers have today, that we can now simply live a life as we see fit without regard to our father's commandments. What would happen if a son told his father, you know what, I have no need to obey you any longer? That would not happen. Or it doesn't happen either with our Father in heaven. He expects more than what many ministers teach today. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." That is from the New Testament. If we compromise his word for family, for friends, for employers, for professors, or for anyone else, we are showing him less love. We are showing him that we care, that we have more love, that we have more respect for others. What is he compromised for loving Yahweh less? Well, Yahshua said here that he who loves him less is not worthy of him. So again, we find that our love and devotion must first be for who? Must be first be for the one we worship. Must be first for Almighty Yahweh. You know, I get concerned about those who say that they love Yahweh, and you never see them at the feasts. Sometimes they don't keep Sabbath. They never support the ministry. And yet, again, they say that they love Yahweh. Or how can we love Yahweh if we're not complying to his will, to his word? As Yahweh's people, we must do more than a talk or profess our faith. We must show our belief by what we do. Matter of fact, we find that in James. You know, James said that he, by his works, he would show his faith. You see, what he's saying there is, I will show you by what I do my belief. He also said, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Well, we certainly see that today. People are deceived into believing that they are doing and complying by the will of their Father in heaven when they are not. Many are deceived. As a person, you know, we can make all kinds of promises. We can say we're going to do this or that. But unless I follow through with action, these promises mean absolutely nothing. Again, that's why it's so critical that we keep his Sabbaths. That's why it's so important that we keep his feast days. That's why it's so important that we support the ministry. All of these things show the devotion we have for him. If we neglect or ignore these items, if we neglect his word, we neglect his will, and we show him that we love him less. And when we do this, Yahweh says that you are not worthy of me. Now, how is this relevant with our love for Yahweh? Or if we understand love again, we'll understand that we show our love by, again, what we do. If we say that we love Yahweh, we will show that by obeying his will. Verse 38, we find that his truth requires a sacrifice. Verse 38 says, "And he that taketh not his burden and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it." Listen to this. "And he that loses his life for my sake shall do what?" Where it says here that he shall find it. You know, the message here is very simple. This is not a complicated message this Sabbath. A child can understand it. We must be willing to give all to our Father in heaven. Listen, giving 70% is not enough. Giving 80% is not enough. Giving 90% is not enough. Giving 99% is not enough. If we desire to live for the one we worship, we must give and strive for 100%. Notice the promise we find here. Yahshua said that he who finds his life shall lose it. In other words, he who lives to himself or herself shall lose it. But he says, he who loses his life for my sake shall do what? Shall find it. Shall find it. Because again, they're putting Yahweh's will first before their own needs. What Yahshua is simply saying is this: if we live for ourselves, then we shall die to ourselves. But if we live for our Father in heaven, we will receive everlasting life in his kingdom. So to be found worthy of eternal salvation, what must we do? What must we do? We must put Yahweh first. We must love him first. We must sacrifice for him. You know, I know this is real easy to say and this is easy to understand, but I want to impress upon you that we must do more than listen. We must do this. We must follow this. We must act upon the words that you hear today. Because unless we act and do and follow what we hear, we will not find salvation within Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh has given us these words, and we are to strive every day to be better than what we are now. You know, life is all about a choice. We all have a choice. We can either live for the one we worship, or we can deny and rebel against him. We find this truth in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read this from the Bible here. It's not on the slide. So turn there with me if you have your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to read 15 through 20 here. It says, "See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love Yahweh, thy Elohim, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments." So how do we love Yahweh? What does his word say? He says, if you love me, by doing what? He says, by keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and Yahweh, thy Elohim, shall bless thee in the land whither thou go to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other mighty ones and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and the cursing. Therefore choose," what does he say? He says, "choose life. Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love Yahweh Elohim, and that thou mayest obey his voice." Notice that. Why? What is the purpose for all this? So that we obey our Father in heaven, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is your life. Notice that. He is your life. He is the reason we exist. He is why we are here. And he should be our motivation every day. He is our life in the length of our days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yahweh swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And remember that we are all part of that same promise. We are grafted in. We are called heirs of Abraham within Galatians. So we find here our Father's concept of free will. You know, there's a lot of debate as to whether we are predestined, whether we can do anything at all to earn or not earn salvation, or whether we have a free will to either accept or deny. Or we believe here that Yahweh has given us all a free will to accept his truth. Yahweh does call, many are called, Scripture says, many are predestined, if you will, to the truth, but whether we receive that truth depends on us. Do you understand the distinction? Now, even though we have Yahweh says here, I've set before you life and death, notice what he says. He says, choose life. So Yahweh has given us free will. He says, I've set before you life and death. He says, I've set before you the blessings and the curse. Choose life. But again, it's a choice. All throughout the word, we find him saying things like he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, Yahweh, our Father in heaven, he doesn't want us to come to an end. He doesn't want us to perish. This was true in the Old Testament and true also in the New Testament. We know that our Father doesn't change, contrary to popular belief. The same Yahweh we have today is the same Yahweh yesterday and in the future. We find that in Malachi 3:6. After all, we know that he gave his son for this purpose. You know, we're all familiar with John 3:16. It says, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I know we hear that often, but do we really believe that? Do we understand the message and the love and the compassion that our Father had for us through the death and the sacrifice of his own Son? Our Father in heaven, listen, he's done everything within his power to grant us life. He has given us his word. He has given us wisdom. He has given us understanding. He has given us an atonement through the blood of his own Son. But again, whether we achieve this will depend on our decision. Whether we latch hold on this promise will depend on us. Again, we find here that Yahweh sets before us life and death. He says, you choose. You decide. I'm not going to force you. He says, you decide. I've done everything I can for you, but you're going to choose in the end. We can either choose death by rebelling against his word, by doing those things that are contrary or in opposition to his word, or we can find the blessings and salvation if we comply with his will. He gives us the ability to choose his will or our own. But understand, there are consequences for that decision. If we choose the world, as most people do, we're going to miss out on the blessings that he promises within his word. You know, there's promises not only in this life, but also in the life to come. Many people, they don't realize. You look around, you see so many people suffering today. And you wonder why. Why can't they just simply obey Yahweh and 90% of these issues would be resolved? But people, they don't see that. They want to rebel. They want to do it their way. And as a result, we find that they are not receiving the blessings. Instead, they're receiving the curses. Yahweh says, follow me and you will be blessed. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24, we find that each one is accountable for his or her own sin. And again, we're going to read this from Scripture here. Ezekiel chapter 18. This is a major prophet within his word. Talks about the kingdom within this book. It's an amazing book. Occurs after the, or during actually, the Babylonian exile. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25. It says, yet you say the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Or not your ways unequal? So here we find a contrast between Yahweh's ways and man's ways, something that still holds true today. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dies in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die? Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive if we repent and turn to him. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Verse 29, he yet saith the house of Israel, the way of Yahweh is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal, or not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith my sovereign Yahweh. Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. You know, this is an amazing book. It almost sounds like something we would read in the New Testament. You know, Paul or Peter or somebody saying, repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Or here we find Ezekiel through Yahweh's spirit saying, look, repent, so that sin will not be your ruin. Sin has always been the issue. It continues to be the issue. And look, just because as a culture and as a faith, we try to sweep it under the rug today, it doesn't remove it. It's still there. We're simply ignoring the obvious. And as a result, there will be punishment to be paid. It says, verse 31, cast away from all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. And why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith my sovereign Yahweh. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live you. We find that Israel had some issues with Yahweh. They were accusing him of his ways being unequal or unfair. Again, this certainly sounds like arguments we hear today. You know, that Yahweh in the Old Testament, what he was cruel, he was vindictive, he murdered people. I remember several weeks ago, or maybe a month and a half ago, I was talking to a gentleman on the phone, and he was trying to justify his agnostic viewpoint from the fact that Yahweh commanded Israel to murder these people. And how could he do that? How could he be so cruel? How could he be so vindictive? Same argument here. How can you be unfair? How can your ways be unequal? So nothing new is under the sun. Our Father here, though, he points out that it wasn't his ways. His ways weren't the issue. It was man's ways. Their ways were the issue. Yahweh's judgments could not be more just. We know that all throughout. You know, one of the cornerstones of faith is that Yahweh does not show partiality. He does not show bias within his word. I've had people come to me and say, Yahweh's biased, and then they come back and say, you know what, you're right. He's not. He doesn't show bias. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's the Israelites or a stranger or a Gentile. Yahweh treats all the same if we simply comply and do his will. Matter of fact, he says here that he says, when the righteous turns away, or when the wicked turns away from his wickedness, that he shall be saved because he repented from his sin and he will not see his ruin because of that. But he also says, he says, look, if a righteous man or even woman turns away from their righteousness and pursues sin, he says, they shall then die in their sin. So again, Yahweh is without partiality. He is without bias. He judges based on what we do. If we comply to his will be blessed. If we do not comply to his will, we will be cursed. It's very simple. Now notice again what he says in verse 32. Yahweh affirms a key point, and that is that he finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yahweh doesn't want to see people die. He doesn't want to see people come to a ruin. He says, please repent. You know, one of my favorite passages I think I read in my last message is Isaiah chapter 1. He says, come now, let us reason together. He says, even though you're in apostasy, I'm going to forgive you of your sins if you repent. But again, they had to do something. They had to repent. And that's exactly what we must do before Passover. We must, again, examine ourselves. We must look within. We must ask, are we doing those things that are pleasing to Yahweh? And if we're not, we need to begin now. We shouldn't hold back. We shouldn't say, you know, next year will be better. I'll try after Passover. No, you start right now. You start today. You start today. You know, it wasn't Yahweh's will to see Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit. That's something they did. It wasn't Yahweh's will to see Aaron's sons offer the strange fires. They came up with that on their own. You know, it wasn't his will to see Saul break his command. But in each one of these cases, there were consequences that had to be paid. As his people, this is a key lesson. No matter what it is, there is a consequence for sin. There is a consequence for rebelling and rejecting and ignoring deliberately the word of our Father in heaven. In Galatians 6, verse 7, Paul affirms this principle. He says, be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth, listen, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Notice here what Paul says first. He says, do not be deceived. Many people in the world today, they're deceived. He says, don't be deceived. He says, I'm not mocked. Elohim is not mocked. How many people believe that they can deceive our Father in heaven? Or, you know, I would say to some regard, the vast majority of people in the world believe that they can deceive Almighty Yahweh. Too many share this belief. Listen, we cannot deceive our Father in heaven. Again, as it says here, Yahweh is not mocked. Elohim is not mocked. No matter how smart we are, no matter how deceptive we might be, listen, we will not deceive or mislead our Father in heaven. What else does Paul say here? Where he goes on to say that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So again, in essence, what we find here is the same message we found in the book of Deuteronomy. What did we find there? Yahweh said, I've set before you life and death. I've set before you the blessings and the curse. He says, choose life. Where Paul is saying the same thing. He says, if you live for the flesh, what will happen? He says that we will see corruption. If we live for the flesh, if we live for the world, if we live for ourselves, if we rebel and reject the word and the will of Almighty Yahweh, what will happen? We will see corruption. It's very simple. What happens, though, if we listen to Yahweh? What happens if we comply to his word? What happens if we obey the one we worship? Or in that respect, Scripture says here that we will reap everlasting life. Now, when it comes to salvation, let me ask, who's really responsible? Who's responsible for our salvation? Who's responsible for your salvation? Who's responsible for my salvation? What do we find within the Word? Or Paul, again, he answers this in Philippians. Philippians 2, verse 12. Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You know, that's really a great message. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but the fact that Paul could confidently say that, look, not only have you obeyed you've been a good example when I was there, but also when I was not there. I think that's a testimony to the Philippians. Where he goes on to say, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul says here the word of work out our salvation, how? He says fear and trembling. You know, there's this thought that we're to respect Yahweh, that we're not to fear. Why would our Creator, why would the one we worship require that we fear Him? Where here it says that we are to tremble before Him. Where this certainly is more than a respect, more than reverence. We are literally to fear our Father in heaven, especially when we're not complying to His will. From what we find here, who's responsible for salvation? Who's responsible for our salvation? Or we're responsible for our salvation. We find here that salvation is a personal commitment. It's a personal obligation. It is something that we do individually, not collectively. I cannot receive salvation for you, and you cannot receive salvation for me. We will receive salvation based on what we do individually. If we'll be found worthy of Yahweh's calling, then as we find here, we must work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. So much of what we find in our Father's Word goes back to this concept of personal choice. It goes back to a sense of responsibility. It goes back to a commitment. You know, how many people really have a sense of personal responsibility where everybody, they want the handouts. They want everybody to, you know, other people to do what they should be doing for themselves. Yahweh's word works differently. Yahweh says, no, you do for yourself. Yahweh says, you work. If a man does not work, Scripture says, let him not eat. Well, that's certainly not a concept that we have in this nation now. And there's nothing wrong with helping somebody, but we should not enable people to do nothing. If we will choose life, what must we do? We must put Yahweh first. We must love Him first. We must follow His will. We must obey His commandments. Again, life is all about choices. What choice will we make? Will we choose to continue to become better servants, to become better disciples of our Father in heaven? Or will we become complacent and lukewarm? According to Titus chapter 1, verse 16, we will all be judged based on what we do. Titus 1, verse 6 says, they profess that they know Elohim, listen, but in works they do what? They deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Paul said that there are some who profess to know Yahweh, but by their works they do what? They deny Him. Well, we find many examples of this in the world. We can also find many examples of this within the assemblies. And I hate to say that, but it's true. I've known people to fall away because of what we find here. You know, these people, they professed to have a love for Yahweh. They professed to believe. They professed to know. They professed that they had a desire to follow Him. But through their works, they denied Him. Again, we must do more than profess our belief. We must comply by His will. We must obey His commandments. We must keep His Sabbaths. We must keep His feast days. We must do His will if we really believe. Now, some of us may say that this could never happen to us. Well, let me tell you, this could happen to any one of us. Paul again said that, lest I myself become a castaway. This is the Apostle Paul. This is a great apostle. This is the apostle that wrote the vast majority of the New Testament. He said he himself could become a castaway if he did not restrain or enslave or put his body into bondage. I don't know if we really think about this enough as believers, because this is not a concept that is really taught too often within the assemblies. We are to put our body into bondage. Our lives do not belong to us. Listen, our lives belong to Him. When we went down into the waters of baptism, we said, now we give our lives to You. And everything we do is to be done for Him. You know, Paul, again, could not say with absolute certainty that he could and would be saved. And neither can we. This passage here should be sobering for us all. I pray that when Yahshua comes, he doesn't say to us, you who rejected my will, or you who denied me through your works, through your life. I can assure you that the last thing we ever want is to say something or do something that would remove us from Yahweh's good grace. When we profess that we believe, we better follow through with that belief. Again, keep in mind what we heard from James. What did he say? He said, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Let's now consider an example of a man that exemplified, I believe, of devotion, faith, dedication. A man that we find in the Old Testament. We could give an entire message on this man. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now Yahweh had said unto Abram. We know this man probably better as Abraham. Abram. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now I want you to notice here that Yahweh told Abraham to leave everything he knew, to leave his family, to leave his country, to leave his father, to leave his culture, to leave literally everything he knew, to go to a land that he knew nothing about. Does this remind you of something we find in the New Testament through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah? Where number one, Yahshua said that we must love Yahweh more than anyone else on this earth. For Abraham, he had to put that into practice. He had to leave his family and follow his Father in heaven. Literally, he showed Yahweh through leaving that he loved him first. Number two, he said that we must take our burden and follow him. Where Abraham literally did this, he took his burden and followed Almighty Yahweh into the promised land. He didn't get there, not in his lifetime, but through the descendants and generations that they would, you know, come to that promised land. Abraham not only had, again, to leave his family, those whom he loved, but he had to leave everything he knew behind. Not only did this require a tremendous amount of faith and love, but also devotion. You know, Scripture says that it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. We find that in Hebrews 11, verse 6. We must believe in Yahweh. Matter of fact, it says not only must we believe in Yahweh, but that we must believe that he is and is a rewarder to them that love him. A rewarder. Meaning that we believe that he is able to do everything we find within his word. Yahweh says that Yahshua is coming back. Yahweh says that we will be resurrected one day. Yahweh says that we're going to be changed from corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortal. Yahweh says that we will live forever. Yahweh says that he is bringing down his city. Yahweh says all this through his word and through his prophets. Do we believe this? You see, that's what faith is. Faith is a belief, is an assurance of that which we have not seen, according to Hebrews 11. Do we have faith? Do we believe that Yahweh exists? And do we believe that he is able to do everything we find within his word? That's what faith means. Abraham, he believed. He had faith. He was convinced. Matter of fact, Scripture says, I love this passage, and I believe it's Romans 4. It says that he was fully persuaded. There was no doubt. There was no question. This man was fully convinced that the promise he had received from his Father in heaven, that he could deliver. And guess what? He did deliver upon that promise. But we must, too, we must have this type of faith. You know, sometimes things happen in life that we can't plan for. And I'm a planner, so sometimes that's a little bit difficult for me, but we all need to accept that. I believe that sometimes he opens or closes doors based on his will for us. But listen, we must have the faith to either keep them shut or go through those doors. And if we refuse, for whatever reason, we may not receive that blessing that we could if we simply followed his will. Like Abraham, sometimes we need to have faith in Yahweh and make whatever sacrifice we must to ensure that we are complying by his will. Because again, what must we do first? We must first obey him. He comes first. We again see here that Abraham left everything he knew to follow his father Yahweh to a land he knew nothing about. In essence, we are doing that as believers today. We must have this same devotion, this same unyielding faith, this same dedication, this same commitment to our Father in heaven if we will be found faithful to him. Are we willing today to forsake all? Are we willing to have faith in the one we worship? Are we willing to fully commit ourselves to the one we call Almighty Yahweh? Are we? Or are we simply giving lip service? Are we saying we are, but in reality, in the back of our minds, we know that we are not? That we have other priorities in life, that we have other commitments that mean more than our faith? Or for those who are, we find a great promise within our Father's word. Paul describes his promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. It talks about the first resurrection and alludes, I guess, to the second resurrection, to the coming of Yahweh in his holy city, when Yahweh, or when Yahshua the Son, will give back and will give that authority back to the Father. Well, let's read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed." So that's promise number one. Do we believe it? Do we believe that when Yahshua does come back, that he's going to change us in a twinkling of an eye, as it says here in just a moment? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that in that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim, which giveth us the victory through our Master Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Such an important ending there, that our labor is not in vain. That what we do today, we'll receive blessings at our Savior's coming. You know, can we even comprehend such a promise that we find here? Those who are called and chosen, they're going to be resurrected when our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, returns with his angels, with his collection of angels. It says, Matthew 24 says, he will send them out to the four corners of the earth. They're going to collect the saints. Scripture says here that they're in a twinkling of an eye, they're going to be changed from corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortal. No longer will we, you know, and I always like to say this because I know there are people suffering out there. No longer will we have the physical challenges that we have today. If we are struggling somehow, those challenges, those elements, those trials will be a thing of the past. No longer will we have bodies that ache. No longer will we have the physical problems we have now. Scripture says that we will be immortal and that we will be incorruptible. No longer will death have power over us. It says, "O death, where is thy victory?" Where there is no victory for death, not through Yahshua the Messiah, because we shall be raised incorruptible. Well, listen, this is not an empty promise. And again, this goes back to what I was asking in reference to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Do we believe in Yahweh? And do we believe in the promises that we find within his word? What do we find here will be the greatest event in the history of mankind? Do we believe in its existence? We must believe. There's not a greater blessing than eternal life in his kingdom. Everything we do now is for this promise. Every day we're alive should be motivated for this cause, to be found worthy of life everlasting within his kingdom. As Yahweh says here, and as we have seen in other places, we can choose. And if we choose correctly, we will be changed and will live forever. Well, this blessing is really beyond any spoken words. I wish I could describe it and provide the description that it deserves, but I don't believe anybody can. I don't believe anybody can describe the greatness that this day will bring and the blessing of being changed. I think it's something really beyond our imagination, comprehension today. I don't believe we can even fathom this. We can achieve this, though, only if we fully commit to our Father in heaven. Again, this is why we're here. This is what this time represents. So as we approach the Passover season, I would hope and pray that we would examine ourselves. I would pray and hope that we would review our lives and ask, are we doing the will of my Father in heaven, or can I do better? And listen, don't say I'm going to start next week or next month or next year. Start today. You know, we all have weaknesses. We all have shortcomings. I have them. I know that we all can grow and be better than what we are now. So I would encourage you to do just that, to grow and to be better than what you are now. And again, remember the words of Paul, and I'll close with this once more. Said, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, for as much as you know that your labor, listen, is not in vain. It is not in vain. It will pay off. We will see the blessings, and we will see that when Yahshua comes back to gather his saints, they will be changed and they will live with him forever. May Yahweh bless you.